Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to ThinkBigRadio.com, where big thinkers come to teach and learn. Your goals are our goals, and your success makes us successful.
Hello, ThinkBigRadio.com listeners. Big here, your host tonight. We have the incredible Kelly Sims from Dallas, Texas on. Kelly, are you there?
I am here, Big, and excited to be here at that.
Great. We're happy that you could make it here with us this evening and share this pertinent information with our guests about your business, your life, and how they can become successful. Are you ready?
I am absolutely ready. You always have to be ready.
Okay, well, first thing we want to start with is, how can our listeners reach you?
Oh, that's absolutely easy. All you have to do is log on to your computer, www.kellysimsinternational.com. That's Kelly spelled with an I, not a Y, international.com.
Great, kellysimsinternational.com. Okay, can you tell us a little bit about yourself, you know, your family? You had a talk from a big family, where you grew up at, schools, you know, anything you'd like to share?
Yes, absolutely, Big. And thank you so much for inviting me to the show. I'm really motivated by the inroads that you all are building on the community across the country. I'm originally from New Orleans, and I have been living in Dallas here in Texas for the last 5 years. I'm a 20-year radio personality veteran, and I've been in the major market here for the last 5 years, as I mentioned. I work at Radio One, which is a Kathy Hughes African-American-owned station here in the Metroplex. People can hear me on commercial radio at www.945ksoul.com every Saturday. I'm on between 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. Central Time. And Monday through Friday, I am on during the syndicated Michael Basin show between 2 and 6 in the Dallas footprint. And incidentally, I have actually done shows nationwide with Mike. He was originally hubbed here in Dallas and then recently moved over to Miami, but I had the privilege of being able to do a live show or two with him as well. And I am additionally a voiceover talent. A voiceover resource. I make commercials for corporations. I am currently working on a project with a major communication company. They are launching a new innovation into the marketplace, and I've had the privilege and honor to be in a position to create the audio file for that corporation, and I would be happy to make your business come to life as well. In fact, my ability to drive revenue to your business is really limitless. And again, you can reach out to me at kellysimsinternational.com. And I am also a professional speaker. My brand is The Habit Changer. We affect bottom-up change, increase productivity and efficiency through proven methods of salience transfer. Change starts in the heart. And, of course, it takes 26 days for a behavior to become a habit. And we take our corporations to the next level with a theoretical and practical approach to resolving their gaps in achievement.
Wow, it seems like you have a lot on your plate. And as a big thinker, I'm sure that you use some type of style to take care of all of these different things and make sure that you stay flexible in it. What would you say to our guests who may be juggling two or three things at once about staying focused to the particular thing that you're working on at that moment?
Being focused, you hit the nail on the head, Big. Actually, being focused is precisely what you need to do, and planning carefully, examining what it is that you want to achieve, and making sure that your mindset is in a calmed state. And in terms of my style comes across as very genuine. I am the radio talent and public speaker, and really my brand hovers around being the girl next door, being a person's friend, and being sincere in any of the things that I'm going to effect change in. I've done commercial productions for people who have got car and truck dealerships and political events, high-profile entertainers, public figures, athletes, and so forth. But the reality is a lot of times people get intimidated when it comes down to dealing with what we call high echelon individuals. But the fact of the matter is that everybody is the same, and everybody is one idea away from becoming a multimillionaire. And the difference between the people who have achieved a level of success is that they were persistent and that they followed through and they saw the project through to the end. A lot of times you're going to have your naysayers or dream thieves out there in the atmosphere, and you have to learn to separate yourself from those individuals and keep yourself engaged and fully focused on the things that are going to drive you to the next step in your goal. And just taking your goal into bite-sized pieces and breaking it down, that you feel a level of success. And then once you experience that step, that success, then you exude that confidence that will take you to that next level.
Wow. You know, it was a couple of points that you brought up just now makes me think about a point you brought up earlier describing part of the businesses that you do when it dealt with habits. So if I wanted to juggle three or four things at once, what would you say to me as far as my habit changing? Because you did bring up a good point about, and this could possibly be a habit, is hanging around the wrong people with the wrong ideas and changing that habit to, you know, kind of hang around people more like mine. But what type of habit would I need to do, or how would I work on changing my habit?
You decide for yourself whether or not you're going to hang out with the chickens or fly with the eagles. And essentially, you want to surround yourself with people that are like-minded and are big thinkers. As we are in our network, we are who we are exposed to. And a lot of what I've experienced throughout the course of my career, I take the personal, I take the professional, relational, and all the experiences and incorporate them into ensuring that I stay focused on the things that are important to me and am true to self. Because a lot of times if you are easily led and distracted, then that's going to prevent you from realizing your goals.
Well, that reminds me of I was just at the health club, I believe it was yesterday, and I ran into an old buddy, and he works out all the time. And just starting back, you know, I have a program. I have my goals set, so I have to stick to my program. And, you know, I kind of follow the Bill Phillips method. And he interrupted me to try to assist me when I didn't actually need his assistance at that moment for anything. And I think he felt a little offended when I said, well, let me finish this workout part here, and then I'll have a minute to talk to you because I time myself.
Sure. And time, you definitely hit the nail on the head. Being respectful of people's time speaks volumes about your level of professionalism. And in the scope of what the Habit Changer delivers, I do time management ahas for corporations as well. And what that means is I do 45-minute blocks of lunch and learns, and I'll go into a corporation and talk at length about saving time, because saving time is essentially more important for most people than saving money. If you lose a substantial amount of money, you can do the work to get that money back, but you can never recover that time. When people are at their deathbed, you're never going to hear any person say, oh, I wish that I had more money. It's always going to be more time that you cleave to. People want time with their families. You want time to be able to do the things that you want to do for yourself and for your family. And essentially that's, I think, everybody's goal, it's fair to say, is to become debt-free, to become financially free, so that the ultimate benefit is that you have the freedom to do what you will with your time.
Mm. Now, every now and then we have guests that call into the show. Sometimes they want to make a comment, ask a question, or just listen. We have a caller on now from the 865 area code. So I'm going to see if that caller would like to make a statement or ask a question, caller, when I put you on, can you please state your name and where you're from? Caller from the 865 area code, you are on the air.
This is Gloria.
Hi, Gloria.
Hi, Gloria.
Hello. And I have a question.
Sure.
What type of corporation do you work? Because I noticed that you you started like in 2007, starting to be a student in voiceovers.
Mm-hmm. I have been a radio personality and a celebrity, ran for 20 years. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I learned, of course, during that time was that you take your talents and your fruits and your gifts and you monetize that. And in 2007 is when I became a part of Voice 123. That is one of the agencies that I work to deliver some of the voice work that I do. And it's located at www.voice123.kellysims. And there you can get samples of some of the commercials that I've done in production for various type of companies and organizations.
And what do you see the difference between working for a corporation and working for a radio station?
Well, essentially a radio station in modern times is a corporation. Radio One, for example, has 25-plus stations all across the country. And so we are run like any other corporation, and we build revenue as a voice talent, as a personality. I am, I guess, what you call the commodity and the brand. So the account executives go out and receive advertisement dollars based around our ability to deliver notable ratings on the radio. So in our radio segments, we're entertaining, educational, engaging. We get hired to do various projects. So essentially it's run like any other corporation where the brand is in place and everything is interdependent on the demand for that brand.
And what do you like about being at a radio station?
The music is probably the most enjoyable piece. I happen to have the luxury of working a format that I actually appreciate myself. We do classic rhythm and blues, R&B music. Examples of talent or artists are like Earth, Wind & Fire, the Stevie Wonders, Lionel Richie's, Charlie Wilson's. So those are the folks who we play the music of, and I enjoy that. And I also enjoy helping individuals that call into the radio station. You'd be surprised a lot of the times when people are going through things, we're all like the free psychologist. The person will call into the request line and reach out for a word of encouragement, or they may be going through something and they may need just an affirmation or just that little extra boost of confidence, and that's fulfilling to me. I had a situation on the radio recently. An elderly woman called into the station, and she communicated that she was living in a retirement community, and her electricity bills had not been paid because she was on a fixed income, and she used her money to help out her grandson, who was really taking advantage of her. So she had gotten in over her head, and they turned off her lights. So, and I had come to work with a completely different mindset about what I was going to do for the day and how I was going to entertain my audience. But when this happened, you have to operate in the moment and be impromptu and be responsive to the things that are going on in the moment. So anonymously, I reached out to the listening audience and communicated that this lady needed assistance, and it asked if anybody knew of a resource or a nonprofit organization that would be inclined to provide this lady with what she needed to get her lights turned back on. And as a result, a gentleman called in, and he said that he did not know of any particular agency, but that he was personally willing to pay the money to get her lights turned back on. And I played the clip back of our conversation, mine and the gentleman's conversation, and then when that went out over the airwaves, another young lady called that to say, well, okay, well, such and such has got the first month for her. I am willing to pay the second and third month to make sure that her lights stay on. So essentially we had been able to build up a reserve of money to help this lady out. And, you know, it's just that kind of fulfillment that lets you know that your heart's in the right place. And while we are running a business, that at the end of the day, we are there to serve the people and we're there for the community as well.
That's a thinking for us to be able to take something like that. And for those of you who don't know, Lori, one of our big thinking hosts. So, Lori, you can go right ahead. But before we ask any more questions, you're listening to thinkbigradio.com, where big thinkers come, teach, and learn. Your goals are our goals, and your success makes us successful. Kelly, can you please get out your contact information once again, and also could you spell it? Because you do have a tricky name, and we want people to actually be able to know exactly where they're going the first time around.
Absolutely, Big. You can reach me at www.kellysimsinternational.com. That's K-E-L-L-I-S-I-M-M-S, international spelled out, .com.
Great. Gloria, did you have any another question?
Yes, I do. But there's been a big change in the radio station industry over the past, give or take, like 25 years. What are the changes that you have seen taking place over the last 20, 25 years?
Well, Gloria, it sounds like you've done your research and you've got real close proximity to radio. We actually have a new method or system, a rating system. And there was a time when the way that people gauged the success of a particular day part or segment on a radio station was analogous to the way that television uses the Nielsen ratings with the diaries. And with those diaries, people would record the call letters of the radio station onto a sheet, and there would be a control group of individuals who were responsible for delivering those results. Well, a new system has recently been engineered. It's called the Portable People Meter, and the acronym, obviously, PPM. And in the PPM world, it's much more competitive. Less is more. And as a personality, as a jock, we are required to get more information across the airwaves in less time. So we have to be tighter, much more succinct, much more precise, but still be engaging and compelling at the same time. So it's like, can you walk and chew gum and stand on your head and juggle all at the same time? And the radio stations that win in this arena are the ones that are able to deliver that result.
Now, are the rooms still small like they used to be, or did it change? Because I used to do radio. That's why I know about radio.
The little padded rooms. The rooms are a little bit bigger, but not nearly as much about the size of the room as it is about the quality of the equipment. The microprocessors in compressing the voice. The rooms are a little bit bigger because we've got a whole lot more foot traffic just because of the way that the industry is. In the music industry, we have folks that come to the radio station, the politicians, the athletes, the artists, the musicians. Those people come to the stations, and a lot of times they have very large entourages and camps. So sometimes we have to have, you know, people be split apart, and we have to be cognizant of the times that we actually would put on a guest for an interview in the commercial radio environment because of the size, obviously. But they're adequate. But, again, the most important part of radio delivery is the equipment, in that the equipment compresses the information, the materials, the voice, the commercials in a way that's appealing, to the average listener, because most people listen to radio, commercial radio especially nowadays, in a very passive way. And what that means is there are so many other mediums that are out there competing for the consumer. For example, the iPod and the internet radio, such as we are here at Think Big. So there's so many other options out there for people to take advantage of nowadays. So we have to be crisp and precise and on target with getting the message out there and engaging and captivating the audience and giving them a reason to come back. So that is essentially, by and large, how commercial radio is able to still be successful and compete. It's the longest running media platform that's been in the marketplace, even before television. So just imagine how it's evolved now. And so we have had to change with the times in commercial radio and being very, very present on the internet, being present interpersonally with individuals, being out there, being on stage a lot of the times. I've personally been a moderator, a facilitator, a host on stage, and as well as in the studio. So we get a lot of activity, but that all is encompassed with expanding the brand of the station and making sure that the message is consistent and then clear.
What was the
now tell me
that you went into radio?
I'm
why
sorry?
Did you choose, why did you choose radio to get into? What was the main
That's
purpose?
A really good question, Gloria. I can remember in high school, I was in journalism. I was on the newspaper staff and really involved in speech and debate. And my journalism teacher, when we were talking about careers, we were discussing the different options that were out there. She said something that stuck with me for all these years, that you should always select something not only that's going to make you a lot of money, but that you're good at and that you enjoy doing, that you would not mind doing for free. And so I looked introspectively and decided for myself, well, I love to talk. And I'm real stickler for editing and for writing and being creative and corresponding and communicating with people. And so what better profession to have than one that embodies all the things that I internally and innately like to do for myself? So it was really an easy transition for me. I think I was one of the only people in my university, in my group of friends. We all went to college together. In the group, everybody kept changing their majors. And I think I was the only person in our group. There were like six or seven of us, and we're still friends to this day. But I think I was the only one who actually stuck with my major. So it started in high school. It's always been with me. And being privileged to be in a position to do what I love to do is just enriching and fulfilling.
Now, I was just recently, I guess I can call it, giving a lecture at a high school, and I asked one of the gentlemen there, actually the first person I asked, what did they want to be, what did they want to do, and his question was, his answer was he wanted to be in radio. So I gave him a couple of ideas, but what would you tell a high school student who says that he wants to be in radio? What path would you tell him to take?
That's a really tough call at this point, because radio, in the way that people have perceived it over the last 20 years, the way that someone told it to me 20 years ago, is to run far and fast, because it's extremely competitive. It's almost likened to professional sports. There are only a few seats that are available, and those few seats have diminished over the years because of national syndication. You've got the big names that are name brands that are out there, and they mass market to multiple cities, and it's much more efficient for a radio station owner or operator to do an affiliate contract with a national syndicator than it is to hire a local jock. So the opportunities have waned in terms of what's out there for a person. A high school student who is interested in broadcasting would need to certainly find a really good niche. For example, sports. Sports is one of the outstanding formats that has not been as affected. Urban radio is one of the ones that has been affected tremendously. And recently we've got this taxation that Congress is trying to pass that's going to further drive out black-owned businesses, black-owned radio stations out of the competitive marketplace. And we are in a fight at this very moment to try to preserve the ability to maintain these stations. So finding a niche, being willing to step outside of your comfort zone, going into a format that you may not necessarily be appreciative of. For example, if you're a person who likes hip-hop or R&B, but you'd be willing to do a country western or a rock and roll station or even a classical station or something that's outside of your natural gravitation, those would be my words of advice. And really working diligently to show yourself to be an asset and a value in a place where there is an opportunity for you to grow, spinning your wheels in an environment where there is limited growth is not good advice. So if I was talking to a high school student who wanted to get into broadcast, I would certainly advise that they really did their homework and analyzed what it is that they want to do in the arena and creating a brand specifically, being internet savvy, the social mediums like the Twitter and the Facebook and the LinkedIn and all these other platforms. We as celebrities, as broadcasters and personalities have had to embrace that change and incorporate that into our methods of branding and marketing.
Okay, when you're saying being a celebrity, what do you mean that by? Because to me, like when you're a radio personality, do you consider yourself a person? You know, I've never understood why people would say that they're a celebrity when they're on the radio.
It really depends on what part of the country you live in, and it's about branding. And when you think about celebrities on TV, what differentiates a celebrity from who's not a celebrity? Typically, I wouldn't necessarily consider myself a celebrity just from a standpoint, but because of the service work, because of the impact, because of the deliverables that we provide to people in the way of communication and transforming lives and changing and enhancing and enriching people's lives as a brand, as a commodity, that is what becomes synonymous with celebrity stature. Let me ask you a question. When you think of celebrity, what comes to mind for you?
An individual. To me, a celebrity, because I've met a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
In the industry.
Sure.
And I feel that we're all equal. It's just that somebody might work a little bit harder than someone else. Some people work in front of the scenes, some people work behind the scenes. But to me, the person that works behind the scenes is just as important as the person that's out there.
I totally agree with you.
Doing different things. So I don't see people as celebrities. I see people as people, no matter how much money or no money they have. They can be a homeless person. They are just as important as someone that's out there that's making millions and millions of dollars. So I don't consider no one a celebrity. That's just my opinion.
Right, and I can appreciate what you're saying, Gloria, because essentially we all are equals, and you're absolutely right. The person behind the scene is usually the one who's orchestrating and making all the points connect for the brand, for the outside person to be in front. And a lot of times people's egos get inflated and caught up in the hype, if you will. And that's why it's just kind of what it is. It's what it's called. And you've got, you know, the politicians and the artists and the athletes. That's just what it's evolved into and what people call it. But I agree with you in terms of people being on equal footing. I don't subscribe to a behavior of being condescending or treating anybody any less. I treat my clients the same no matter what size the invoice is. It really doesn't matter the size or the amount of money. I'm very consistent with what my deliverable is because I want, if I'm putting my name on it, I want it to be perceived as highly qualified, a high level of integrity goes into it, a whole lot of passion. Everything that I do for my clients gets done for every client, no matter what. But going back to your point about celebrityism, it's just a part of our societal makeup, and we embrace the name. The first time that somebody walked up to me and asked me for an autograph, it took me out of my comfort zone. I was like, really? Are you serious? And the fact of the matter is this person was serious because they went a step further to explain the reason why, and it was because of something that I'd said that they heard that made them feel better about something that they were going through. And so for me, it's a personal thing when I'm in a position to provide that extra affirmation or to make a person feel more energized or more confident about achieving whatever their goal is on whatever level that is. That rings true in everything that I do for the people that I serve.
Big, are you there? So where do you see yourself in approximately 10, 15 years from now?
Hopefully I will be living my dreams in retirement, traveling the world, and will have left a legacy. Incidentally, I actually have a foundation, Fatherless Girls, and in my foundation it helps to build the self-esteem and the self-worth and confidence of girls and even women that grew up without their fathers. And one of the audiobooks that I have out there, which exposes the why realities of failed family structure, it talks about educational, racial, and financial barriers that exist in our society, including absentee fatherhood, depression, emotional, psychological abuse, which obviously stems from multi-generational poverty. And in the book, I go on to talk about who's to blame and where it started, all those distractions and finger-pointing that have kept us from resolving the issues, looking at racism as simply, for example, ignorance and fear mixed with a sense of misplaced supremacy and entitlement, which kind of goes back to your question about celebrityism. And when that's taken out of context, it can become a substantial problem for people. Education has also become a commodity nowadays and is applied as a tool that uses access to financial resources as that wedge that separates members of various groups, i.e. people who are behind the scenes versus those people who are in front of the scenes. And exposing these maladies and early intervention is really the only way to galvanize and restructure our Black family. And that's a substantial part of what Fatherless Girls is going to do. And the intervention begins with reprogramming the mindset early on and just really, really looking at the fact that kids these days are having sex really early in life, and that comes as a result of their poor self-esteem, lack of love, parental attention, and the perception that there isn't anything else out there for them to do. And Fatherless Girls is also going to engage the kids with that will be in a position to be as provocative and compete with those mediums that are out there to keep their minds off the sex and give them the belief system that allows them to equate other things to love. And so being on the street and in competition with, say, the gang leaders and the pimps, these kids really fall easy prey to these maladies that are out there because there isn't any family structure. And so ideally, fatherless girls will be an outlet to give voice to the problem, to expose the problem, analyze the reasons why, and really look at things that are realistic and attainable pathways for achievement for these kids to get beyond what's around them. A lot of the time kids are exposed to things in television, and in one of my modules I talk about turning off the television and managing your time and being much more actively involved with your children at the end of the day when you're doing homework with them and really sitting down, having a meal with them, asking them those open-ended questions and giving the kid the opportunity to express themselves and not just always barking off orders to children because children don't feel respected. And then when you look at the child-to-parent relationship, there's the respect that goes out the door. And then the parents themselves are not respecting one another. And so these kids grow up exposed to this failed family structure, and it just perpetuates itself. It's just like a vicious cycle. So Fatherless Girls is going to talk to single dads and really analyze the reasons and what their virtues and their values are around their pride around their daughters, so that girls that grew up, women that grew up without their fathers can really understand the love and the adoration that fathers are supposed to have for their daughters, and to realign people and to put families back into play, because this vicious cycle of baby mama and baby daddyism has just really gotten out of control. There's a general acceptance that the family's supposed to fail. There was a funded program that was highlighted last year on CNN's Black in America, which provided for a program. I'm sorry?
I'm familiar with that.
Okay, so you're familiar with that program. Have you seen that program work effectively in what region, in the region of town or the country that you're in?
I'm from two different parts of the United States.
I see.
I'm from one part, the north, but I live in the south for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
But
do
to
you
me,
see?
Mm-hmm. When you're, see, it has to go back to the parents. You have to see, we always keep on saying it's the children, what's wrong with the children. But you got to look at these older people, 30, 40, 50, 60 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And I was
They're
fortunate
still children
to have
themselves.
A father. And I was very fortunate to have a strong Black African American father. And
sure.
He taught me a lot. But you have to be a parent. And these
mm-hmm.
older generation, they have to show the younger generation. You can't help these kids unless you have parents or men and women that are being men and women, that are not
mm-hmm.
saying one thing but doing something different.
And doing something different,
they
exactly.
They need to
see
the real person. If you made a mistake, you made a mistake, instead of
sure.
trying to cover what you do, pretending, okay, I'm this, but then yet and still you're this, you know.
And the kids can see the genuineness, and they can detect when you're saying one thing and doing another.
Mm-hmm.
They say, act as I do, not what I say. And it's supposed to be like the reverse, but do as I say, not what I do. And the kids are looking at you like we don't respect you, or we're not listening to you, or if you're in the store and you see a kid misbehaving, it's because the parent doesn't have any control. But a lot of times when you said in that age group, 30 and 40 years old, those people are still trying to find themselves. Those people are still in search of love that they never got themselves. And this is male and female. So once we're able to secure and shore up people's self-esteem and self-worth and help them have a semblance of value, individual value, they respect themselves, they respect their minds and their bodies, they begin to respect the people that they deal with, and giving options so that people can get over those past hurts. A lot of times when we talk about baby mamas and baby daddies, there was this gentleman that was in the news recently, 21 children.
Yeah, I know about that.
21 children. And the woman who was giving birth to her child, after he's had these 20 other babies in front of her, there's obviously a disconnect in her mind that made her think that he was going to change. And I mean, it baffles me when I think about it, because when you see a pattern, a person embracing a certain pattern of behavior, it's amazing to me to set your expectation around some false optimism that for whatever reason you're going to fly in and wave away a magic wand and that person is going to change behavior. And so I was appalled and I was shocked. And unfortunately, there isn't anything that anybody can do about a person who decides to be irrational with their body and their behavior and their sexual behavior, resulting in a whole population of unloved children. So Fatherless Girls is going to outreach and minister to women and girls. Ideally, we capture girls who are becoming young women and helping them with etiquette, helping them perceive themselves with a higher level of worth, and that when they're relating to men, they understand that it's protocol for the man to open the door and pull out the chair and lay the napkin on your lap. It's protocol for him to make sure that you're okay and walk on the outside of the street to protect you. And when you talk to these children about such things, it's like talking in a foreign language. So it's conditioning behavior and changing the habit. And that's essentially what my speaking brand, The Habit Changer, changing habitudes around money, around time, and around human behavior. And at the end of the day, what it comes down to is that change, it starts in the heart. And you have to take it one day at a time, and you have to not be, I guess, a person who throws stones when your house is made out of glass, and realize that nobody's in a position of judgment. We just have to embrace the truth and confront it no matter what it is, and be bold enough to deal with what that truth is and not try to do the window dressing and sweeping things under the rugs. In the black community for years and years, we have been conditioned and taught to not talk about certain things. For example, money. Money and financial behavior and balancing a checkbook, taking care of your finances, building up a savings reserve, all these things are not taught in school. But this is the basis of operating in real life. So why not? So a lot of the things that we are looking to change are those habitudes around the money, around time and how you apply your time. When you're engaged with things that are productive, then you don't have time for the shenanigans. And you have more of a sense of pride about yourself. And no little boy can come up to you, or no man can come to you, Gloria, even at your age, as a woman, because you have that foundation. Your dad instilled a sense of pride and values in you that many women are not privileged to have. So our work is in going back and re-injecting those in to the women that were not privileged to have what you had growing up.
You're listening to ThinkBigRadio.com, where big thinkers come to teach and learn. Your goals are our goals, and your success makes us successful. Winding down with these last 30 seconds, we'd like to thank Kelly Sims for coming on, sharing her insights with our listeners and a little bit about herself. We're sure Kelly would come on again and talk about more, but we're actually running out of time right now. So for all of you big thinkers out there, you know this interview will be archived. Thanks, Kelly.
My pleasure. And look for me, Real Talk Radio, on the Think Big Network, June 25th. We're going to be talking about your credit score being under attack. I'm looking forward to joining you then.
You're listening to ThinkBigRadio.com, where big thinkers come to teach and learn. Your goals are our goals, and your success makes us successful.